All right. This past 2 or 3 weeks, we've been discussing Ephesians chapter 3. And in the last couple of weeks, we've discussed the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Before we go into chapter 4, there's a couple of things I want to say to you about the prayers of the Apostle Paul. What I want you to do, I want you to compare them with me. And notice how they're laid out in the Scripture. For instance, the first one, you might turn there, will be Romans chapter 1. Go back to Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, and really we're going to be after verse 25. Romans 1, let's see, notice verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now watch this verse. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I notice the blessed God. I'm interested in the blessed God in the passage. The blessed God in the passage is the Creator that created all things. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6. And I'm going to put that down here. All right, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen or can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So I'm gonna connect these two together. In other words, the Creator of all things is the potentate. It's the Lord of lords, King of kings. All right, turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And by the way, these things have to be designed. This is not an accident. This is not a coincidence. This is, and by the way, I want to remind you that it is the King James Bible that we're finding this stuff in, and it's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. It is designed. Romans chapter 9, verse 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption of the glory and the covenants from the giving of the law, the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. All right, then I'll put Romans 9, I'll put verse 5 there. All right, now skip over with me again to 1 Timothy, and this time go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right, now he said that in the verse we referred to, Christ, who is over all, God, blessed forever. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and notice verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, I'll connect those two then. 1 Timothy 1, 16-17. All right, connect those two. All right, then go to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. Romans 11. In Romans 11, verse 30. 3. Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, man can't compete with God. Man's not on the level of God in the natural realm. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. All right. That would be Romans 11, verse 33 through what? 36? All right. Then go to Ephesians chapter 3, our passage we've been studying. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. I'm sorry. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Man can't, in other words, he's not on the same level knowledgeable with God, who is known the mind of the Lord, who can instruct the Lord and whatever. All right. His prayer is that we might know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So then I can compare Ephesians 3. Say 17 through 21 there. In other words, I find in Romans that man doesn't know things that God knows. His mind's not the same. He can't instruct God. He can't understand the things of God and whatever. But I find in Ephesians chapter 3 that man, by Jesus Christ being in him and recognizing that fact, can comprehend the things that is incomprehensible for the mortal mind to get a hold of. I turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God on the rise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And so then I'll put up here Romans 16, 24 through 27. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'll connect then Ephesians 1, 3 through, I'll say 7 there, with those. And then there are two others that are right in the center. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. What am I thinking about? 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Then go to chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. This is going to take too long, so I'm not going to take time to read everything, but notice in verse 21, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we've been weak, howbeit whosoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. They Hebrews, so am I. The Israelites, so am I. The seed of Abraham, so am I. Ministers of Christ, so am I. Come to verse 24. Of the Jews, 5 times received 40 stripes, save one. 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. Night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who's weak and I'm not weak? Who's offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not, and so forth and so on. Then I can match those two, in other words, the comfort. And boy, I mean, you can tell that. I mean, when you see 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 along in there, and compare 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the things that Paul went through, there is no doubt about where Paul got his comfort from, and all these things come from these up here. It's God. Now, you want to know how to comfort somebody? You can't know how to comfort anybody until you've experienced some things whereby you need comfort, and you can't experience those things or get comfort from anything you experience until you come to know the fact that it is only through God that you can get that comfort, and it's only through God that you can know truth. There is no other way. And you can talk about a teacher this and a teacher that and our preacher this and our teacher this and all that kind of stuff, but that don't amount to a hill of beans. The only thing amounts to anything at all is the Spirit of God teaching you the truth. And if you're not willing to submit to the Spirit of God, you'll never get the truth. I don't care who the teacher is. It makes no difference. There's no way that we can boast in men. Absolutely. And Paul lays that out so clearly, you couldn't miss it unless you wanted to. No boasting in men. Paul said, I'm a fool. I'm a fool for Christ's sake. And he said, when I boast, I only boast in the things of the cross. I boast in the cross. I praise God for the cross and whatever. And the only way to boast is boast in Christ. Don't boast in men. Don't boast in the system. Don't boast in the literature and the things of this world. Boast in the Lord himself. God is the potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, and on, and he's coming one day. Between now and the time that he comes, there is no comfort to be had from the arm of the flesh. The arm of flesh will fail you. Lean not on the arm of flesh. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart, and he'll direct thy paths, and so forth. And you know, we're so prone to lean on the arm of flesh that we're going to do it no matter what. We're going to trust men and look to men and expect men to reveal truth unto us or comfort us or whatever. There is no comfort in men. There's comfort in the Lord. No other way. All right, in Ephesians chapter 4. Get this off out of the way up here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Notice the connection. In other words, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, considering that, and considering that we're able to comprehend things that are impossible for the world to comprehend, then there's no reason not to walk according, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're being called. And you know, the only reason behind people not doing it today, and there's no excuse for not doing it, but the reason that people are not doing it is because of ignorance. And why is there ignorance? Because they're trusting men. They're leaning on the arm of flesh. They're trusting men, and men won't tell them the truth. Just like we were talking about the preacher here in Pensacola, Florida. I heard him on the broadcast this morning. He's in Colossians chapter 2, and he's like a man walking a tightrope. He's like a man walking on eggshells. He's tiptoeing around, and he's being very careful not to bring out some truth that is very important in Colossians chapter 2. Now, he brought out some truth in Colossians 2, and there's no doubt about that. But there's truth in Colossians chapter 2 that people need to know, and they need to know it bad. But no way was he going to get involved in it. He knows it, I'm sure that he does, but he's careful not to bring it out. Why, he'd reserve the time that those that believe the truth of Colossians chapter 2, he could refer to them as hyper-dispensationists and dry cleaners and Bullingerites and so forth and so on, heretics and idiots and knuckleheads and stupid and whatever. He'd reserve all that. And to bring out the truth of Colossians chapter 2 that is there available for people would fix it so that later on he couldn't call those that believe that truth hyper-dispensationists, idiots, Bullingerites, knuckleheads, and stupid. So what does he do? He holds back. And there are people by the hundreds that lean on this man. They trust this man. They believe that anything he says is comparable to the Word of God in itself. As he said it, it's got to be true. There's no ifs, ands about it. Well, that's not so. This Bible said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, and the people that go to that school where this man is that I've talked to that haven't the vaguest idea what is the vocation wherewith they're called. How do I know that? I ask them. They don't know what that, they have no idea what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1 is. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, that is in view of the fact that I prayed for you, and I know that God Almighty is able to make you comprehend with all saints this love of Christ, which is past knowledge and so forth. Therefore, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Or what is that vocation wherewith we're called? Well, it's very clear that all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, recognizing that there's one body. In other words, this love that the Lord Jesus Christ has for all saints should manifest itself in us. That is, if there's any truth in the Bible that is worthy of having, then we ought to be willing to give it to others. We ought to love them enough that we sit down and show them this truth. We ought to love them with the love of Christ manifested in our lives. Why, there is no man that's immoral enough that God Almighty wouldn't save him if he'd trust Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Turn back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You're not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called if you're setting men at naught. You're not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. If you exalt yourself above other people, think you're better than they, and you push them aside, and you pick out some special people and teach the truth to them. No way. Notice in Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, we ought to receive the man whether he's in total agreement with us doctrinally or not. As long as that man is saved, as long as that man has the faith and has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then he belongs to God. He don't belong to us. If he belongs to God, then we ought to receive him as one that belongs to God. If he's an adopted son of God, he's in the same family with us, and we ought to receive him as such. Look down in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Come to chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. In other words, don't just satisfy ourselves, satisfy some other people. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, Christ an example. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. In other words, our attitude then should be the same attitude that the Lord Jesus Christ had. Those that God the Father chose before the foundation of the world, those that God the Father loved, Jesus Christ gave his life for. Well, then those that God the Father chose and Jesus Christ died for, we in our own ministry ought to give ourselves to reveal to them that truth that God did choose them and the Son did redeem them and make them know what is the fellowship of the mystery tied up in all that. I'll go down to Romans chapter 15. Verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Then we ought to receive one another. If a man's a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, whatever it is, it should make no difference to us, as long as that man is in Christ. If that man's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what do we care what his doctrine has been in the past? Our job is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Our job is to build up the body of Christ and bring into unity those that are divided by the flesh and whatever. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, the word vocation there is just simply a calling. In fact, for whatever it's worth, I don't know if it's worth anything or not, but the so-called Greek text has the word K-L-E-S-I-S, whatever that is. The word just simply means a calling. It's used in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. The word calling is the same word. It's Irish, it's klesis. I don't know Greek, I don't know Hebrew. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, comparison, Colossians 3, in Colossians 3, verse 12, Colossians 3, no, I'm sorry, make it verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, in view of that fact, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, by the way, if you've got a grudge against somebody else, and if you feel that somebody else has done you something evil, and you are not forgiving those people, haven't forgiven them, and have a forgiving attitude about them, then you're not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, and you can't get around it, and there ain't no need to throw stones at people because they smoke cigarettes and drink booze and all that kind of stuff, as long as you hide a grudge within your heart and have just plain ornery, mean attitude about the thing. Forgive. How can you receive somebody that you don't forgive? You can't. Receive you one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath received us. Forgive. A forgiving spirit. I know that it hurts, and I know that it goes against the tide, and I know that it's against the flesh and the pride and whatever, but you just don't know what he did. I don't give a flip what he did. God knows what he did, or she did, or they did, and God forgave them in Christ Jesus. You better. You want to walk worthy of the vocation? Then forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice, by the way, the contrast there with Matthew chapter 5, 6 along in there, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, if you forgive not men, neither will God forgive you. Notice the change. He didn't say here, forgive them or else God won't forgive you. He said, forgive them as God forgave you. That's the thing. You've already got forgiveness in Christ. Now be to others like he wants to you. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. In other words, you are not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called if you don't have the same love one toward another. Well, then what is this calling wherewith we're called? Go back to Ephesians 1 again, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In other words, then our situation would be, and whatever the foundation of the world is, we'll let that represent it. And we'll let this over here represent the end of this world system. All right? God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Spirit in unity back there chose us down here that we should be over here what God had in mind for us over there. In other words, there is a day over here when every one of us in this room are going to love every one of the rest of us with the same love that God the Father, God and the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loved us. In other words, there's going to be a day over here that there aren't any of us in here that are going to boast against the others. We're not going to be proud and haughty or think that we're better than anybody else or turn up our nose at anybody else or whatever. We're going to have the same love over here that God the Father had for us over here, that God the Son had for us when he redeemed us, and God the Spirit had for us when he called us. We're going to have that same love one toward another. Oh, well, then what is he saying? He's saying, walk worthy of that calling wherewith you're called. In other words, in here, we should be an example here of what we're going to be over there. And there's so much emphasis placed upon not drinking or dancing or smoking cigarettes or playing cards until people forget the fact that God Almighty loved us and gave his Son for us to pay for the sins of those things that are involved in the flesh. And that if God Almighty forgave us in Christ Jesus, then why can't we forgive others in Christ Jesus and live among those people and with those people and around them and whatever with that same attitude toward them? I'll tell you why we can't. Because we walk in the flesh. Because we're carnal. That's exactly why. Filled with the flesh and the mind and egotistical and mean and ornery and just plain down heart. That's all just honor in me. That's it. Proud. Well, God loved us, gave his Son for us. His Son loved us, gave his life for us. The Spirit of God loved us and came and led us, called us, and brought us to the place of trusting Christ as our Savior. Right now, we're to love one another with that same love. We're to walk worthy right here of the calling that we're called unto over here. And I'm not trying to put down the preaching and teaching against sin. I want you to understand that. I'm not trying to put down the preaching against drinking booze and smoking cigarettes and all these things. I'm not trying to put that down. In other words, anybody in here ought to never be involved in a situation whereby that would bring reproach upon him back here. Now, you know something? Hatred, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness and whatever is reproach upon him back here, just as much or more so than a person that might drink booze or smoke cigarettes or whatever. In fact of the business, have you ever noticed that people that drink booze and smoke cigarettes and play cards can get together and have fellowship in here? But those that have jealousy and envy and hatred and an unforgiving spirit can't get together and have fellowship. Isn't that amazing? We're called in one body. Well, what will separate the body? Pride. Pride. Denominationalism. Oh, yeah. I'm a Baptist, they'll say. Which means I am higher up the ladder. I haven't quite made it yet, but I'm higher up the ladder than the Methodist or the Presbyterians or whatever. I'm proud of my heritage. I was born a Baptist and raised a Baptist, and I'll be a Baptist till I die. I've had people tell me that. Nonsense. That is not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What is walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? Receiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath received you. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so forth. Well then, Brother Moore, does that mean that I should just ignore the fact that John Doe, Baptist preacher over there, teaches things that are not true? No, you shouldn't ignore that. And yet, even though that he does that, find out about his salvation and receive him for Christ's sake on that basis. In other words, if he's a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or whatever he is, if he's saved, he's in the same body, but he doesn't know certain things now that maybe we do. How about you before you learned the truth? What were you? I was a Baptist. I was raised a Baptist. I was proud of my heritage. I was proud of the fact that my daddy was a deacon in the Baptist church. If someone had asked me, was I a Christian, I'd have said yes. I'd have said, yes, I'm a Christian on the basis of joining the Baptist church as a young man, walking the aisle for Jesus, shaking the preacher's hand, getting baptized, and so forth. Yes, I was proud. Well, how about then when I got saved? When I got saved, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What did I do then? I went the next Sunday just as fast as I could go up to that Baptist church, and I walked that aisle when that preacher gave that invitation and joined that church and got baptized. Baptist. And you know something? When a young man came around to me and tried to show me the truth of the mystery and show me the difference in the ministry of Peter and the ministry of Paul and whatever, I hurt that fellow's feelings. I was proud. But how about now? I see truth in the Word of God now. Praise God for that man that came to me and showed me things there and set me on the right path and whatever. Well then, how should I be towards other people? I should remember what I was. I should see where I was, what my attitude was. And then when people's attitude is toward me the same way, I should endure. I'm not going to keep on the rest of my life. If a man explains to me and shows me specifically and definitely that he doesn't want anything to do with me, then I'm not going to impose myself on him and I'm going to keep on. The Lord never did. But if I see some hope there or some possibility, I should keep trying, even though that man hurts my feelings. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What is the calling wherewith we're called? We're called in one body, members one of another, fellowshipping together, accepting one another as brothers in Christ. Notice the contrast. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Contrast verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling, they don't feel anything for others, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. Well, how do Gentiles walk then? Well, they walk in the vanity of their mind. They walk with their understanding darkened, and on and on. You know, I just recently I was talking to someone about forgiveness, about in my particular case, did I forgive people? And I told them, yes, that I did. I forgive people. But you know something? I may not forget that which they did out there. In other words, if somebody took me apart and tore me apart and tried to ruin my ministry and tear me down and whatever, I may never forget that, and I might not put the same trust in that person that I did before, but I forgive that person. Why, hey, listen to me. If there was some fellow working for you and you sent that fellow out on the job every day and you didn't watch him while he was out there, and turn out that fellow was coming up for the paycheck every Friday afternoon or Saturday or whenever you paid off, and if you found out later that that fellow, all he's doing fooling around out there and he wasn't working, he's going on vacation every week, you thought he was working when all the time he's just taking your money and so forth, after a while you might be able to forgive him, as the Lord gave the illustration to Peter over there about the man that had the servant that owed him some money and he forgave him. And well, you might be able to forgive the fellow. But you know what? I doubt very seriously, just because you forgave him, you keep on sending him out there on that same job. And you know something? When people's very nature is shown, when people's attitude and nature and whatever is shown unto you, I don't think God Almighty expects you to forget that. But that doesn't change the fact that you can forgive them for Christ's sake and love them for Christ's sake. Love them in Christ. Love them with the love that by God loved you in Christ. We're not talking about emotion here. We're talking about something that's factual. It's the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The world around us doesn't do that. The world around us has an attitude of walk over them before they can walk over you. Beat them before they can beat you. Take them before they can take you. Do unto others before they can do unto you. That's the attitude. Well, that's not to be our attitude. Our attitude is to be unto others as we would like for them to do unto us. Would you like for others to forgive you? Then forgive them. Would you like for others to be nice to you? Then be nice to them. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. How's that? Verse 2, Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all lowliness, that is, not self-exalted and blown up and whatever, and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. The word forbear there is to just, is to put up with. In other words, we use, I put up with it. And yet, that sounds terribly cold to say, I just put up with somebody. Well, I tolerate them. You know, we say we don't want anybody to just tolerate us. So it's not that sense, and yet it has to do with, even though if they keep on, if they are wrong or whatever, forbear up under it in love. Notice in James chapter 4, James chapter 4, James 1, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, and so forth and so on. Be afflicted and mourn and on and on. Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, here's the attitude. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and so forth and so on. Let the mind of Christ be in you. You know something? There isn't anything that will put anybody at more ease with you than them recognizing the fact that you have a forgiven spirit about you and have the love of Christ toward them in you. Guarantee it. There isn't anything that will cause anybody to be any more to feel any more rejected than for you to have the feeling toward them of an unforgiving spirit toward them and want nothing to do with them and whatever. They feel rejected. Children in a home that aren't loved by their parents grow up with a feeling of rejection. They go through life with a feeling of rejection, therefore they reject others the way they've been rejected. Same is true with saints, Christian people. Christian people who reject one another have a feeling of rejection toward others. Turn, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Turn, please, to Romans 12. That's where I want. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 9. Romans 12, 9, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. How's that? Romans 12, 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Why, folks, where is there anybody that I should feel more comfortable with than I do with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? You tell me that. Well, I tell you how I could feel uncomfortable among them. I could feel uncomfortable among them when I believe that they're trying to take me apart, when I believe that they're talking about me behind my back. I'm talking about my ministry and so forth and so on. When I believe that they're trying to take me apart behind my back and cut me down back there and destroy my ministry, am I going to feel at home and comfortable with them? No way. But if I find that they love me and so forth, then I'm going to feel more comfortable with them. If we find that others love us and we love one another the same, hey, folks, we're at ease among them. Why, we can get into the Word of God and we can study and teach and learn and whatever. But when there is dissension and hatred and envy and jealousy and unforgiving spirit and whatever, that is not so. There's no way you can make it be so. Hence, the devil knows that. That's why the devil sets up the denominational barriers between people. Every time you talk to somebody that's a Baptist, you know what you're doing? You've got to climb over that Baptist barrier to get to that fellow. Every time. He isn't going to come where you are. He doesn't come onto your plane and say, no, I'm not a Baptist. You've got to get over there where he is. You've got to love him and understand the fact that he's walking in ignorance. In most cases. We're going to stop there in Ephesians 4. Lord willing, we'll take up there in our next class. Right now, let's take a break.